thing called the Amazing Clips, the congressional hearings where Congressman Jack Brooks is trying to bring out the fact that there is a plan to suspend the Constitution and establish a dictatorship, and then you'll actually hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez confirming that plan. We have something called the Concentration Camp Special, which is a four-tape set, which is a DVD, and certainly is a group of documents going along with this, but they do not want the American people to know. So you need to get this information. It's available from Radio Liberty. You can get the four-tape set or the DVD or the documentation separate, but be sure to get it and help us to get the truth out. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We've got a great DVD. It's called Sheltering in Place. I mean, how would you prepare your home for the possibility of a chemical or biological warfare? Have you ever thought about it? Have you made any preparations at all? Because actually, you can use your home as a shelter, but you have to think about it now and know what to do. And the preparations are simple. Well, we recommend this DVD. We have a four-tape set on civil defense and the things that you should be doing and preparing for. We've got a great book. It's called Making the Best of Basics, something my wife had met long before I started doing this. It's just, what would you do if you couldn't go down to the store and buy all the things you regularly do? What would you do if you had wheat or grains? Why would you prepare them? The book Sheltering in Place is just a great source of information. So we have, of course, Making the Best of Basics, the DVD entitled Sheltering in Place, and then a four-tape set on civil defense. We've got so much information. Go up on our website of RadioLiberty.com and get the information, and then share it with your friends and with your neighbors, because we're really in serious times. And, of course, the whole world financial system is coming down. The Chinese are threatening to default on their derivative contracts where they've actually The Chinese were told by our leaders that the prices were going down, and they said, you lied to us. We're just not going to honor our derivative contracts, and we're not going to take a big loss. You're going to take the loss. And then, of course, they're encouraging their citizens to buy gold and silver. The Chinese have asked for their gold from London. The British won't give them to them. The people in Hong Kong have asked for their gold. They can't get it. The people in the Arab countries have asked that London to give them their gold. Germany's asked the United States to give them their gold, and we won't give it. We're on the end of the whole monetary system.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson introducing a new way to listen to GCN on your cell phone. If you own a smartphone like BlackBerry, iPhone, or Arnold G1, there's a free application called Flycast. Simply download, install, and within minutes, you'll be listening to your favorite GCN shows from the convenience of your phone. Go to GCNlive.com, download the Flycast application, and begin listening in a whole new way. The place to go to is GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com, application Flycast. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counter.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Dr. Catherine Albrecht, who has her PhD from Harvard University, and she writes extensively and has written books and lectures on RFID, identification. And believe me, there is an organized effort in preparation for the establishment of an Orwellian state to have everybody in the United States have a number and be able to be tracked. And they're setting up their banks of cameras all across the country so they can monitor you and they can watch you. And certainly they're setting up a system of informers across the country to spy on the American people and to report anything that's unusual. We know that they are trying to get everybody to have an identification card. Certainly those identification cards will have an RFID chip in them. Your passports, if you have a passport and you have to have one to either go into Canada and Mexico, we never used to, but we do now because of the threat of that wicked Osama bin Laden who's sitting over there in a cave somewhere in Pakistan, plotting on how he's going to take away our freedom, and that's why the government has to take away our freedom, because if the government doesn't take away the freedom, certainly Osama bin Laden will do that. And so they want tracking on everybody. They're collecting dossiers on every American citizen. We have Echelon, Project Echelon, monitoring all of your telephone calls, monitoring certainly everything you put into a fax, everything you have in an email. And how do they do that? With banks and banks and banks of computers through the National Security Agency, also known as NSA, also known as No Such Agency, the largest intelligence agency in our country. And while we focus our attention on the wicked CIA, why, of course, we never talk about the largest agency that is monitoring not only everything going on in the United States, every telephone call in the United States, but throughout the world. And the fact that you don't hear about this, well, it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. But you don't have to take my word. Go up on the Internet and look up Project Echelon, or E-C-H-E-L-O-N. E-C-H-E-L-O-N, and certainly that's how they do it. It's, and get the writings of James Bamford, B-A-M-F-O-R-D. He's written extensively about this. You need to get the information. You need to know what's going on. And apparently our guest is not going to be available. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295, because we'll want to hear from you. It's going to be open line on Wednesday afternoon. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, certainly they have a system of in our cars now called global positioning systems, a GPS. And of course, if you have a GPS system in your car, oh, it's so convenient. It'll tell you exactly where you're going, but you also have to understand that it is also tracking everything you do. They know exactly where you go. Many people have these systems on their car so that whenever they go through a toll gate, why, they won't have to pay. They'll just do it electronically. The cell phones have been rigged, and many of them can track you, that say can listen to your cell phone conversations and track your position. But they also have special software they put into the cell phones so they can listen to your conversation even when your cell phone is turned off, and track your position even when your cell phone is turned off. And most people don't understand. Everything's in place. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. It's going to be open lines. Our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so it's going to be just you and me. Our number here, if you'd like to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But basically, we're talking about the surveillance techniques that have been set up to monitor the American people. And of course they have, their banks of cameras, increasing numbers of cameras all throughout the country. And of course in Great Britain they've been doing this for a long time. And they're finding out that with all this intrusion on privacy, it's not helping them to solve crimes. I think they solved one or two crimes in all of London last year after putting out a fabulous amount of money to get those cameras up every place. And then of course the cameras don't do any good unless you have people monitoring them and watching the citizens. And some of the people in the police force are saying you're wasting millions and millions of tens and hundreds of millions of pounds on this system of surveillance, and it's not helping to stop crime. But the police don't understand. It has nothing to do with stopping crime. It has to do with watching the population. This is what it's really all about. It's the world of 1984 that George Orwell wrote about, and many people, of course, are installing these in their homes for security reasons, and certainly it can be used to stop the bad guys and to catch the bad guys. But it can also be used to monitor the good people as well, because there really are people who want to control everything. A couple of excellent movies out there. If you haven't seen, and I don't think this ever made it into the regular theaters, but it's available on DVD, The Echelon Conspiracy. That's The Echelon Conspiracy. And then, of course, there's Eagle Eye and then Enemy of the State. They're three excellent DVDs. You need to get them and watch them. They have the technology to track everything you do, and they can do it with computers. They listen to your telephone conversations through Project Echelon, Echelon. They listen to every telephone conversation in the entire world. Of course, if it's being sent by satellite, it's one thing, that's much easier. But they have the vehicle to tap into every telephone system in the world. And they're doing that. The people over in Europe are furious. People over in Europe are furious because America's has an empire and is monitoring them, and they want an opportunity to be free. We seem to have a different agenda. Well, we'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and it's going to be open line Wednesday afternoon. We're going to have an open line program again this evening. Well, I'll have something a little bit more prepared, but this afternoon we're just talking. And we'd love to talk to you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And right now we've got Andy calling from Auburn, New York. Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Doctor. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. Except, well, it always comes as a surprise, because I always look forward to our monthly a meeting with a specific guest, one of my favorite ones, but I'm sure there was a cross-up someplace. Under any circumstances, what would you like to talk about? I understand you have a comment.
Well, yes, kind of in the same vein as I was hoping to listen to on your guest, but I started noticing once I started speaking up and speaking out that my mail seemed to somehow take a little bit longer to arrive. So I just did a test, and I mailed a letter to myself, and then I mailed a letter to somebody else, and they started showing up later at coming to me than they did anywhere else. Then I started mailing letters out with my name as the return address, and one with an artificial one, and the one with my return address always consistently would show up wherever 2 days later than the other ones. Now,
some people would say that you're paranoid for doing that. On the other hand, you're only paranoid when you imagine people are against you. And there really are people out there who want to take away our freedom. And this sort of thing happened during the Second World War. They actually monitored all the mail going overseas and all the mail coming in here in this country. And it was all opened. They had banks of women who did this full time, read all the mail, and then sealed it back up and sent it on. And they checked for micro dots. I mean, and of course it was simply these ideas developed during the Second World War, which have been picked up since then, It's much more convenient through the National Security Agency and the use of massive computers just to monitor all the telephone calls and certainly all the emails and all the faxes. And they all do this. They do it with computers. And then, of course, but I'm sure that there are certain people, they target their mail as well. I know my mail has been opened. I've seen my FBI security file page after page after page blocked out in the name of national security. But you go right ahead.
Well, a lot of my family came over from the Ukraine back when good old Uncle Joe Stalin was running the ship there. And the really old ones, when I was a smaller boy, would tell me about how so many of them would, well, the food all got shipped into the cities, and then they refused to give them tickets to get on trains to even get into the cities when the food ran out in the country.
Yeah, they starved about 7 million people to death there in Ukraine.
Yes, sir.
With the full support of the American government and the coverage by the New York Times, and there was a New York Times reporter who says, I've been there, there's no famine at all. But then we never talk about the 40 to 44 million Chinese. They starved to death, you know, long after that, between 1958 and 1964. It's called the Great Hunger. We never mention that the criminals in charge of communist China that our leaders are whining and dining with were responsible for the mass murder of between 40 and 44 million Chinese between 58 and 62. You can check it on the internet. It's called the Great Hunger. Most people say it's only 30 million people, but 30 million, 44, well, I think the 44 million is much more accurate. But you know, Andy, people who've come or have relatives who've come from foreign countries seem to value freedom much more than the homegrown Americans, who can't imagine that we could ever lose it or think that freedom is free. They don't have to be involved.
I think that's a lot of times I see sometimes the fear in my very aged family members when I start asking some simple questions of them. And I think maybe they might think back to those bad old days of their, you know, their mothers and fathers, especially telling them of the horrors that they went through and the signposts that they saw. And the signposts, some people seem to be heading us down in the same primrose path.
We really are. You know, most Americans have never stopped and thought. They have arrested American citizens. They have put innocent Americans in prison. Certainly they did that during the First World War. People who spoke out and said, we have no business going into this war. It's not our war. And they arrested them under the Alien and Sedition Act, put them in prison. During the Second World War, they arrested 125,000 loyal Japanese Americans, seized their property, which they never got back again, and put them in concentration camps with forced labor. But the people say, well, that was, you know, Second World War. Right after 9/11, they arrested 1,000 people, many of them Muslims living in this country, American citizens or legal residents here, and they put them in concentration camps or in prisons here. And we're talking about in 2001 with no justification. To my knowledge, not more than one or two of them was ever tried for any sort of a crime. And yet, of course, the American people just sat back and said, oh, if the government's doing it, it must be all right. And the Americans knew they were rounding up the Japanese, but that was all right because it wasn't. They weren't rounding up the Scotsmen and the Englishmen. And they sat back, and there was no outcry during the war. There was no outcry after 9/11. Certainly, when they rounded up the Muslims, many of them loyal American citizens, people say it couldn't happen here. Yeah, it not only has happened here, it's going to happen again. They're building the concentration camps. They call them detention camps or internment camps, simply in case of a national emergency. It's not imaginary, it's very real. And if you haven't seen my talk on the planned police state or got the syllabus, we've got all the documentation. Anything else, Andy?
Oh, no, Doctor. I do appreciate the time you spend to educate us all. Thank you again.
Well, if one thing you can do is just get other people listening to the programs. Try to convince them to listen. Or go to the website and look at all the DVDs or certainly read the newsletters. Get the information. You're welcome to copy anything I have produced, and please help us get it out.
That's why I love public access, Doc.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, let's go to I guess we've got Joe calling from New Jersey. Hi, Joe, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Joe, how are you doing?
Fine, fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Well as can be expected under the dire circumstances.
Well, what's the dire circumstances?
Well, right now, of course, we're looking at probably the demise of the American dollar, gold and silver going to the roof. We're facing the possibility of a contrived swine flu epidemic and the deaths of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Americans. If they're foolish enough to take this swine flu vaccine that they want to put out, totally contrived. I've been on the telephone several days running trying to get information about what's in the swine flu vaccine they're going to start giving in less than 6 weeks, and nobody will tell me. I even talked to our local health officer here in the Monterey Bay area where I live just yesterday. She doesn't know what's going to be in the vaccine, but she's got to go right along with the agenda and give it. I will tell you that most doctors are not going to take it, most nurses are not going to take it, but they're going to give it to you because they're being told that's the thing to do. I hope you're not going to take the swine flu vaccine when it comes.
Not after I heard what you say, and I checked out what's in it too, and all the things you say that's in it is... Well, I don't know if it's in it, but if it is in it, boy, I'm staring clear of that stuff.
Well, it's not going to do any good. I mean, most of the influenza vaccines don't do any good. Anyway, if you look at the statistics on it, the little or no use. I mean, a few people may. If you look at large statistics put out by the drug companies, they'll tell you how wonderful it is. You look at independent statistics, and they don't find it as much of any good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to cover, Joe? You haven't really covered anything. Go ahead, because I know you called for a reason.
Well, I have a few things that I'd like to share, and one of them is that I believe that the price of gold and precious metals is all being manipulated, and I have a chart that I printed out because I watch the price of precious metals ever since, going way back to 2000 and even earlier than that. And because I'm in the dental business, I'm a dental technician, so I have to buy precious metals from time to time.
Sure.
So guess what? If there isn't a case for manipulation, I don't know what is, and here's how I know it's got to be being manipulated. If you look at all the years, and I go back to the year 2000, the price of the gold was in the 200 range. In 2001, it was in the 200 range but climbing. In 2002, it started to go into the 300 range. In 2003, it was a 300 range. 2004 was in the 400 range. On and on and on. Each year, the price of gold is set at the same price as the year. And I guarantee you, when we get into 2010, it will be $1,000.
Well, I think that we know that they have something called the Plunge Protection Team. It's also known officially as the Working Group on Financial Markets. And they're manipulating all of this. And, of course, they've got the Chinese into this. You know, but the Chinese have suddenly said, we're not going to continue shorting the price to keep it down. We're going to encourage our citizens to start buying gold and silver. And the Chinese are going to start converting their dollars into gold. And the price is going to go through the roof. So if I were you, I'd lay in a good supply.
Yes, and also here's another thing I want to mention. Because I talked with your interviewer when I called, and I mentioned Harold Camping from Family Radio. Have you ever interviewed him?
No, I haven't. Do you think he'd come on our program? He's a very brilliant individual.
Yes, and do you know that in one of his... books. He actually in his first book of 1994 with a question mark, he predicted that possibly the world would end in 1994, and it didn't. However, as an also possible end,
hold that thought for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go right ahead, Joe.
And anyhow, so in that book, he also had as a likely candidate for a date as 2011. And he's now come out with a book as to, what is the end? Yeah, and you can get these books for free, by the way. And he's also, in a new book now, says, Time Has an End. Yes, that's it.
All right.
He goes into greater detail on this particular date.
Well, I think it's foolish to give dates, because, of course, if you're wrong, then you tend to lose all your credibility. So, maybe we can get him on. At least I'll give him a call and see. Thanks for calling, Joe. Really
yes,
appreciate it.
Yes, I think it would be worth interviewing that gentleman on his predictions.
All right, fine. Thanks very much. Let's go to Russell, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Russell. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Question or comment?
Well, I got a question and a comment. First off, I'm almost done with G. Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and I remember reading the portion about Andrew Jackson and his fight with Biddle over the Bank of the United States.
Right.
And when he finally won that battle, it was more or less a partial victory because what Biddle did and also some of the banking practices continued on wrecking the country. He made a comment in the book that when he went to the people and had the people in pressure Congress in not renewing the charter, he turned the office of the presidency into something of, instead of being viewed as a public servant, he turned the presidency into a national leader. And he thought that was kind of significant, and I was kind of wondering, how would you look at it? Because all my life I always thought that people in Washington or in the State House were considered public servants anyway.
Well, I think that in this instance, I think you have to understand. I don't know if you read my newsletter, but I'd suggest you read my May, June, and July newsletter, which deals with Andrew Jackson's battle with the bank. The bank wanted to take over control of the government. They controlled a majority of the members of Congress. They controlled the majority of the members of Andrew Jackson's cabinet. They controlled the media at that time. They controlled everything, and they wanted to take over control of the government. And Andrew Jackson said, I'm not going to go along with that. I mean, you are a den of vipers. And he said to the people, it's either a Jackson and no bank or the bank and no Jackson. He did what was necessary to save our country. And if you read his farewell address, which is what my newsletters deal with, he simply talks about the importance of trying to preserve our Constitution and to limit the power of the federal government. And, of course, that included the central bank, which was made of really under foreign control that was moving to control our government. I think he is one of my great heroes. Imperfect,
well, yeah.
Because we're all imperfect, but I wish we had an Andrew Jackson today, because he was a man of integrity who risked everything to try to save the Republic, and he did save the Republic.
Well, I guess what I'm driving at is he made the point that Jackson turned the presidency into a national leadership instead of a national servant.
Well, who was he going to serve? Was he going to serve the banks?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm thinking that they're trying to discredit Jackson. The banks have always headed him. The occult elite, the Brotherhood of Darkness, has always headed Andrew Jackson. They'll find... Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and one of our callers is saying, though, wasn't it terrible what Andrew Jackson did? He, instead of being the one to be the servant, he wanted to be the leader of the country. And I point out, I think he was one of the great leaders we've ever had. I wish we had leaders today who would stand up against the elite who are controlling our country from behind the scenes. And I'm talking about the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, which control both political parties, the media, most of our corporations, most of our major banks. Wouldn't you like to have a leader who'd want to restore our republic and limit the power of the federal government?
Yeah. I guess it was kind of strange that Griffin put that notation in the book, because I guess up to the point the country itself viewed the presidency as a servant as opposed to a leader, national leader.
Well, I believe what we need there is a man who will stand up for the Constitution.
Exactly.
And he stood up for the Constitution, and he wanted to limit the power of the elite who is trying to take over the country. So I would suggest that you call Ed Griffin and ask him why he put it in. But Andrew Jackson's one of my heroes. I suggest that if you take the time to go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and read my May, June, and July Radio Liberty letters. Would you do that?
Sure.
Okay, do that, and then give me a call and let me know what you think of Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
God bless. Right, thanks for calling, and let's go to Jane, who's calling from well, where are you calling from, Jane?
Salinas.
Okay, fine. Good to have you with us.
A question I've not heard is in regard to the swine flu vaccines, and I know that the pregnant women and children 6 months and older will be receiving it, and I understand that the health care people will be receiving it, in which case, will they, like Joyce Riley, end up with autoimmune diseases and will be incapacitated from working?
A large number of them will. If they have squalene in it, then everything points to that. That's what this is all about. They've already purchased the squalene. Now, I talked to the local health officer yesterday. She said that they haven't received their shipment of squalene. The whole idea is that the last minute, they're going to suddenly say, oh, we're going to have to use squalene. And Sydney, and add that, and this produces terrible autoimmune disease. It can just one shot can ruin your whole life. Do not have anybody take this, specifically no children and no pregnant women. And of course, the reason that they declared a pandemic with less than a little over 2,000 people dead throughout the entire world. 2,000 people throughout the entire world was so that they could get around the laws of this country and they could say this is an emergency. Therefore, we can use this experimental vaccine. It is untested. I mean, they tested for a couple of weeks in a small number of people, and then they're going to give it to the whole population. I think anybody who takes the vaccine, well, is very, very foolish.
And two, if they use the thimerosal besides the autism in the children, does it also cause women to have spontaneous abortions and become infertile, like in the Philippines?
Well, certainly. Well, no, what they put into the vaccine in the Philippines was a chorogonadotropin, but actually, thimerosal does destroy fertility. It is one of the things, not only in one generation, but in several generations. And if you want the scientific background on that, we carry a wonderful DVD. It's called Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. And with that comes a free CD-ROM that you can put on a computer and has literally thousands of pages that will document that they know that mercury destroys the mind, mercury destroys the endocrine system. Mercury is a deadly poison that destroys the fertility not only in one generation but in subsequent generations. And yet they're putting it in. They took it out of the childhood vaccines because it was potentially toxic, and then they added it to the influenza vaccine, which they suddenly mandated to be given to six-month-old children whose immune system could not utilize that or be mobilized by a vaccine. All you can do is simply poison them. And then for pregnant women, where it would do the maximum danger, why would rational people do that unless they wanted to destroy pregnant women and children?
And fluoride diminishes the sperm count
It does. Every place it's been used, and this is covered beautifully in the journal Fluoride. You can get the information on the Internet, or we'll be glad to provide it for people. Or my talk on the hidden agenda, and the syllabus goes with that, has letters from all over the world about public health officials trying to get the fluoride out of their water, and then the abstracts of the articles that show how deadly the fluoride is. And certainly, it produces cancer, but it does decrease the sperm count. It increases the incidence of Down's disease. It attacks the endocrine system, but of course, it attacks the mind as well.
Thank you. I think that I'll let you get on to the next person.
Okay.
Because
well,
I covered a lot that I wanted to, and I really appreciate the opportunity, too.
Thank you, and hope you'll get everybody over there in Salinas listening, okay?
Thank you.
God
I
bless.
Bye.
Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan. It's open lines. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and we'll be right back in a moment.
God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Frank from calling from Louisiana. Hi, Frank. How are you doing? Frank, are you there? Well, I don't hear Frank, so is this Gloria?
Yes.
Oh, well, go ahead, Gloria. I'm sorry.
I live in Spokane, Washington, and Pullman, Washington is south of Spokane, and that's where Washington State University is, and 2,200 students have come down with H1N1, but their health officer down there, Dr. Dennis Garcia, has said that it's a very mild strain, and compared with other types of flu, the swine flu or H1N1 strain is relatively mild. This was in the Spokesman Review yesterday, September 8th, on page A5. So basically, none of the students have had to be hospitalized. It has been a huge outbreak, and he expects up to 5,000 students altogether, or the CDC expects up to 5,000 students total to get this outbreak. So it is contagious, but the students are doing just fine with, they're only ill for about 3 to 5 days, like a normal strain of the flu, and they're just staying home and taking plenty of fluids, and none of them have required hospitalization. So the national news people are making a huge issue of this and suggesting that everyone be, you know, receive the vaccines. And I know my husband and I both had a swine flu shot in 1976, and I was literally sick for a year after that.
Don't you dare take that vaccine, Gloria.
Well, but I would never take.
Well, let me just.
Again. I would never roll up my sleeve again. So,
but let me,
this is okay, and this is a laboratory example of how mild this is, and even the health officer there at WSU is saying it's just a mild strain. You know, swine flu is not a serious strain. I mean, that's what his own words right out of the newspaper. So I think we need to tell people that, and this needs to get on the national news. It was on the national news that WSU, they had so many students with the swine flu, but it's very mild, and none of the kids are ending up in the hospital. So it's an overkill to grab this vaccine and get three immunizations. That's just ridiculous.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Gloria calling from Spokane. She was talking about how up at the University of Washington, there are a couple of thousand students have come down with the swine flu, but it's very mild. None of them had to be hospitalized. They feel a little bad. They cough, sniffles for 4 or 5 days. They get better. Now, what nobody is telling people is the fact that everybody who comes down with a disease ought to immediately start taking vitamin D3 in large doses. I'm 240 pounds. I take 5,000 units. But you're smaller. On a very short-term basis, for a few days, you can take 5,000 units every 4 hours. And this mobilizes the immune system. You can also take certain things with oil of oregano, and if we take something called alibiotic or olive oregano, and garlic and elderberry juice, it's compound. It's just to boost your immune system, and the symptoms go away usually in just a few hours. The reason that we get flu in the winter time in the fall is because we don't get the sunlight. The reason that they're just getting over their outbreak in the southern hemisphere is because this has been their winter time, what has been our summer. So you get this in the winter, you get flu in the winter time because you don't get the sunlight. If you have adequate vitamin D, probably very, very few people would get the flu at all. This is what it's all about, and they're not telling the American people what they can do to protect themselves because they want everybody to take this untested and potentially deadly swine flu. If there is a squalene adjuvant in there, one shot can destroy your life, and you will never get another chance. Anything else you want to say, Gloria, before we let you go?
I just wanted to make one quick correction. It's Washington State University. The University of Washington is in Seattle. So this is in the Palouse, which is the wheat country south of Spokane. It's a rural university. So I just wanted to clarify that one thing.
All right, fine. What is the name of the university?
It's Washington State University.
Okay, not the university. Okay, fine.
Yes,
Washington
it's
State.
Not the University of Washington.
Okay.
So those are two separate universities.
Okay,
so,
fine.
Anyway,
well, it's a very mild disease. Most people have little or no symptoms. Some people will have it and not even know they have it. I wonder, though, if they've really done confirmatory tests on all those 2,000 students. So,
no, they didn't, but they did initially enough of the testing on on the students initially, and then they just said, they stopped counting, and they expect, and then there's 1,000 students that are also ill that they suspect, because all the testing showed that it was the H1N1.
Okay.
I'm just kind of curious how it could spread so easily in the different dormitories, because there's obviously many dormitories down there.
Well,
so
this is a very highly contagious disease. It seems to be patterned as far. It's very, very similar in its structure to the Spanish flu. But fortunately, it doesn't have a couple of the genes on there that makes it deadly. So thank goodness for that.
That's okay. Right. So really, the national news and the CDC should really be telling people, just stay home, rest up, and, take your recommendations.
They take your vitamin D3. You should be taking vitamin D3 and vitamin C, and chances are you're not even going to get the disease. Okay?
Well, I do take vitamin D3. It's a very important vitamin, and doctors are now checking people for that, because anyone that lives in the northern latitudes does not receive enough vitamin D3, and so it's very commonly being checked, especially for women.
Well, you've obviously got a good doctor. Hey, I've got to run because we've got a board.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for calling, Gloria. And let's go to Frank, who's calling from Louisiana. And once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
I wanted to speak for a moment that I've noticed that this Obama administration seems to have a very strong animus against Christianity. He had gone to one of the Muslim countries, and he had announced before them that America was not a Christian country. And then he had gone to another Muslim country, and he announced that America was a Muslim country. And, of course, we all remember when he went to Georgetown University, he required them to cover up it was either the crucifix or a picture of Jesus. And in Idaho in July, they had a God in Country Day that for 41 years they had flyovers to thank God for our country and everything, and he stopped that saying, giving the fallacious and erroneous excuse of separation of church and state. And then I had read that he had given advice when he was a senator to his cousin in Kenya. Oh, I think his name was Odinga, and they had really persecuted and killed some Christians. And I just wanted to kind of get your opinion on this, that do you see the same animus that they have against Christianity with this administration?
Oh, yes. The Bush administration, George W. Bush, wasn't Christian at all, but they utilized and they manipulated the Christian leaders. In fact, there was a fellow who actually worked there, the Bush administration's liaison to the Christian community. And, of course, what happened was that he wrote a book basically talking about how after the Christian leaders, the leaders of our Christian community would leave, how they'd sit around and laugh about how they snookered them. And but they continued supporting the Bush administration and his war policies and his torture and the fact that he would take money away from one international group that was financing abortion, but then quietly give it to another international group financing, abortion. But it was all to give the facade that they were pro-Christian. Obama, of course, at this time, and it was elected at this time in history because he's playing a part. There are powerful spiritual forces behind Barack Obama. And in my talk, if you haven't heard it, it's called The Financial Armageddon, we quote to you from people who are affiliated with the Lucis Trust, which, of course, is a Luciferian organization. And, of course, these people, Corrine McLaughlin and Gordon Davidson, talk about how people within the New Age and the occult movement had been praying for a long time for the election of Barack Obama. This didn't just happen. It's almost as if they're following a timetable. There's a master plan. And we simply give you the exact quotation. And the source of the quotation and my talk on the financial Armageddon, but you're absolutely right, Frank. There is growing animosity towards Christianity because behind everything going on today is this war against God. And this is what it's all about. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our schoolhouses. And it is a war against the God of the Bible because these people, at least at the very top, most of them worship a different God. And once you understand that, everything begins to make sense.
Well, and you know, this goes back to a book that came out in 1792. It was called, it was even written by a Mason, that he discovered some papers from the Illuminati.
Oh, you're talking about Proofs of a Conspiracy by...
Yeah,
we actually carry that book, Proofs of a Conspiracy by Professor Robinson.
Right, and he had stated that the two major goals of the Illuminati were first to take control of all civil institutions, and the second one was to destroy Christianity.
Right.
And Washington himself had written, I think it was two letters, saying that he had come to know that the Illuminati from the French Revolution and the Jacobians had entered into the country. So this thing, this conspiracy has been going on for quite some time, but you notice how the New York people will call you a conspiracy theory. What I tell them is, well, it is a conspiracy.
Of course it's a conspiracy. I mean, basically, if you read the Bible, you know, if you believe in the Bible, you get out your Strong's Concordance and look in there under the word conspiracy, you'll find all sorts of references to it. Why? Because there's a conspiracy against God. I figure if the term's good enough for God, it's good enough for me to use.
Amen.
Anything else you wanted to say?
No, I just wanted to bring that point out. Well, God bless you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, and thanks very much. Well, let's go to Gregory's calling from Gilroy. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield. But you have to understand it's a spiritual battle, and once you do, everything begins to make sense. If you don't understand it, why, nothing makes sense. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Gregory, who's calling from Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. Hi, Gregory, how are you?
Well, pretty good, Doctor. You know, I heard some man at an art and wine festival saying that you were on KKMC at 4, and what he said was almost unbelievable. He said that you said, and you are Dr. Stanley Monteith, are you not?
I am Dr. Stanley Monteith.
And this is KKMC 880?
You are. This is going out all across the country, but one of the stations is KKMC 880, right. What did they say that I said?
Okay, this is the right station then. Well, he said that you said that Dr. Sam Keene was up at the Gorbachev World Summit Conference in the fall of 96.
It was 1995, as I remember. I can check that out for you, though. But anyway, Professor Sam Keene made a remark saying that basically we should eliminate 90% of the population of the world. Yes.
And they stood up and said, "Yes, kill them!"
No, they did not say that. He just got he got applause from the audience. But there's another professor. He's down at the University of Texas, and you can check this out on the internet. Do you have a computer?
Yes, I do.
All right, fine. The professor's name is Eric Pianka, P-I-A-N-K-A, University of Texas. And in 2006, he suggested we eliminate 90% of the world's population, and he got a standing ovation from the audience. And this is covered. Go on the internet. And if you can't remember Eric Pianka, simply type in your search engine, University of Texas professor, kill 90% of population and world population, and you can get that. We have a little pamphlet on my website at radioliberty.com called The Population Control Agenda. And certainly you get it there free and pull it down and read it. There really are people who want to kill off most of the people in the world. And unfortunately, many of these people hold key positions in government and the people who control the government today, and I'm talking about people like the Rockefeller Foundation, people like Bill Gates, people like Ted Turner, who suggested we killed all but about 200 million people. He's changed it. He says now we can let 2 billion live. But public at one time, he advocated killing, certainly all but about 200 million, certainly Prince Philip. Prince Philip, the husband of the Queen of England, had said, if he died, he wanted to be reincarnated as a virus, so he could come back and kill off most of the world's population. There really are people who feel that way. If you question what I'm saying, we actually have the pages from the UNESCO Courier in November 1991, where Jacques Cousteau is quoted as saying, it's a terrible thing to say it, but we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. A terrible thing to say, but even worse not to say it. There's just too many people in the world. Anything else? Anything else? Gregory, are you still there? I guess we lost Gregory. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But you need to find out if it really is true. Are there really people there who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world? Certainly one of the more interesting things is certainly they are actually taking and getting seeds, traditional seeds on wheat and corn and the various vegetables and things, and they're storing them up in an island above the Arctic Circle where there'll be permafrost, will they be permanently frozen? And of course, the people who are financing this is Monsanto, which is destroying the genetic makeup of our corn. Bill Gates, who believes in population control, the Rockefeller Foundation, totally dedicated to population control, and of course, the large Swiss corporation that the European counterpart of Monsanto that's destroying the food supply of the world, because of course you really can't get any corn today that has not been genetically modified, and the chickens are too smart to eat it. They won't eat it. Pigs who do eat it become infertile. They're poisoning the whole world population. But why are they storing the seeds? I believe they want those seeds there for when they start all over again. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Paul, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just fine. Okay? Yeah, go ahead. You're coming through loud and clear.
Well, I just wanted to say first, sir, that I wanted to first just tell you, I'm in my office, so I apologize. It's phone ringing in the background. I just wanted to thank you for all of your teachings over the years. I first heard you 10 years ago late one night when I was working in my office, streaming over the Internet. And since then, I've learned a great deal from you about how the world really works. And I just want to thank you and that I've thanked the Lord for your presence and your teachings over these years.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because this is what it's all about. If I can teach you, then you can teach others. You won't have to spend 47 years trying to figure out what's going on. But thanks so very much for your kind remarks.
Yes, sir. Well, what I wanted to say is that I had a few guests on your show that, particularly Dr. Jerome Corsi, who've spoken about the whole thing around the president and his allegedly not being born here in the United States. And I wanted to, of course, I've looked at all the evidence connected with that, and I've seen nothing to suggest that the president was not born in the United States. And there's been no evidence to suggest that he wasn't born in the United States. So he has evidence to say that he was born in the United States. That's hard to refute. And there is no evidence to suggest that he was not. But that's just of a piece, Dr. Stan. And I connect that with the whole thing around the president's speech yesterday to young people. My children heard the speech at their school, and many of my friends' children heard the speech, and all he was doing was telling them to study hard, and there's no excuse for failure, and your success is going to be the success of the United States in the future.
I want you to hold that thought for just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have something that you'd like to mention, certainly Paul's calling from Los Angeles is saying, look, it looks to me like they're making an awful lot of fuss about President Obama's speech to the school children yesterday. And I agree with him. Why all this, you know, controversy? Oh, my goodness, you know, we don't like Obama. He's got no right to speak to the school children. I think it's great to tell school children that they should stay in school and try to do the best they can. But, Paul, I want to get your thoughts on this. And anyway, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program at Radio Liberty. Paul, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. What I wanted to say, and I'll just conclude here so you can possibly get another caller in, is that I think that the folks listening need to be aware what I think is happening with the whole thing around, for instance, the president and his birth certificate and his speech yesterday. I think what's happening is that there is an attempt to use those who call themselves Christians and call themselves conservatives to eventually paint all those who are Christians and who are cultural conservatives as marginal individuals in the minds of the world, and more importantly, in the minds of the younger generation. Our older generation tends to be more conservative. Our younger generations, such as myself and younger folks, I'm Generation X myself, we tend to be a little bit more progressive in certain ideas. But, you know, I'm, as far as my religion, I'm very, you know, fundamental as far as my religion is involved. And I just want to alert all the folks listening that you need to be aware of not to be sucked in to some of these ideas and the Glenn Becks and the Rush Limbaughs and all these other folks who are saying all these awful things about the president. Not to say in defense of the president here, because I take some issues with the president myself, but in the main, I think what's happening is they're attempting to marginalize Christians, to associate Christianity with marginal our beliefs and folks who are not supportive of America, not supportive of the president, and I think we need to watch out for those kinds of things. And I think you do a good job of showing that there are forces that are behind both progressives and conservatives and all sorts of people, and that there's a greater plan, a meta plan that is at work here. We need to always be aware of that.
I think you're absolutely right, Paul. What they're doing is stirring the soup all the time and getting us so confused by all of the information that's coming in that we have something called cognitive dissonance. In other words, there's so much information and facts and controversies and fears that, you know, we can't be effective, and everybody's concerned that, you know, they're going to be have the troops out in the street with their bayonets on, you know, trying to get people to take the swine flu vaccine. And I don't believe this at all. I believe they're trying to scare us to death so we cannot be effective thinking about the terrible things that are going on, but we've got to be able to keep our minds when everybody else is losing theirs and keep our eye on the ball and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. And when we understand that, we will not be dissuaded by all the false prophets out there.
Thank you, sir, and I will continue to pray for you and the show and everyone and for our great country. Thank you, sir.
God bless, and thank you so very much for calling, Paul. We'll be back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We're really out of time, but we have one more caller from Dorothy from Florida. So, Dorothy, do you have a quick question before we...
Yes. It's just amazing to me how many that heard the speech on yesterday, Dr. Stan, did not hear the speech, the political parade that was put on by the young folks that the president had to change his message to make it sound good. And I don't know how many was listening, but it was a political, like a political situation with the young folks that he had on prior to that. And I wish that somebody would tell them where that was aired or how it was aired to hear what those young folks said that was intended to be spoken. Okay, Dr. Stan.
God bless, and thanks very much for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, why, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us, because most ministries are having problems. A lot of our regular supporters have lost their jobs, and so if you can fill their shoes and help us so we can keep our network of about 60 stations every week going, why, we'd love to hear from you. And our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly, we want to remind you about our all-day seminar we're going to have here on the 25th of October. We're going to have Dr. Cawthon Albrecht. We're going to have Will Grigg. Tom Horn will be here. Ashley Moat coming over from Europe, where he's a member of the European Parliament. And it'll be a great time. We do hope that you can make it. But you're going to have a reservation because we're serving lunch. You're going to call us at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you need...